So sang the famous bard. Odysseus melted into tears, and all below his eyes his cheeks were wet. And as a woman wails and clings to her dear husband, who falls for town and people, seeking to shield his home and children from the ruthless day, seeing him dying, gasping, she flings herself on him with a piercing cry, while men behind, smiting her with their spears on back and shoulder, force her along to bondage, to suffer toil and trouble. With pain most pitiful her cheeks are thin. So pitifully fell the tears beneath Odysseus' brows. And yet he hid from all the rest the tears he shed. Only Alcinous marked him and took heed, for he sat near and heard his deep-drawn sighs. And to the Phaeacians, who delight in oars, he straightway said, "Hearken, Phaeacian captains and counselors, and let Demodocus hush now the tuneful lyre, because not to the pleasure of us all he sings to-day. For since we supped, and since the sacred bard began, this stranger has not ceased from bitter sighs. Surely some grief hovers about his heart. Let then the bard cease singing, that all alike be merry, stranger and entertainers, for that is better far. Since, for the worthy stranger's sake, all things are ready now, escort and friendly gifts which heartily we grant. Even as a brother is the stranger and the suppliant treated by any man who has a grain of understanding. And do not you, with wily purpose, longer hide what I shall ask. Plain speech is better. Tell me the name by which at home your father and mother called you, they and the other folk, your townsmen and your neighbors. For none of all mankind can lack a name, be he of low degree or high, when once he has been born, since in the very hour of birth parents give names to all. And tell me of your land, your home and city, that thither our ships may bear you with a discerning aim. For on Phaeacian ships there are no pilots, nor are there rudders such as other vessels carry. But the ships understand the will and mind of man. They know the cities and rich lands of every nation, and swiftly they cross the sea gulf, shrouded in mist and cloud. On them there is no fear of being harmed or lost. Still, this is what I heard Nausithous, my father, tell. He said Poseidon was displeased because we were safe guides for all mankind, and he averred the god one day would wreck a staunch ship of the Phaeacians, returning home from pilotage upon the misty sea, and then would throw a lofty mound about our city. That was the old man's story, and this god may fulfill, or else it may go unfulfilled as pleases him. But now declare me this, and plainly tell, where you have wandered, and what countries you have seen. About the men and stately towns, too, let me hear. What ones were fierce and savage, with no regard for right? What ones were kind to strangers and reverent toward the gods? And tell me why you weep and grieve within your breast on hearing of the lot of Argive Danaans of Ilius. This the gods wrought. They spun the thread of death for some, that others in the time to come might have a song. Had you some relative who fell at Ilius? One who was dear, some daughter's husband or wife's father? They who stand closest to us after our flesh and blood? Or was it possibly some friend who pleased you well, a gallant comrade? For a friend with an understanding heart is worth no less than a brother.